This is Poetry Off the Shelf from the Poetry Foundation. I'm Curtis Fox. This week, poetry and or advertising. There's a long history of fiction writers who worked in the advertising industry. Sherwood Anderson and F. Scott Fitzgerald worked as copywriters back in the day. More recently, one thinks of Salman Rushdie and Dom DeLillo. But once these writers became famous, they ditched their advertising careers. For poets who don't often get rich from their work, the story has been a bit different, and it's changing. We asked Chicago producer Robin Lynn to explore recent developments in the relationship between poets and advertising.
We were small, but fast. Remember? We were like a wind appearing out of nowhere. We knew that being clever was more important than being the biggest kid in the neighborhood. As long as we keep our heads down, as long as we work hard, trust what we feel in our guts, our hearts, then we're ready.
This is a commercial for Maserati that ran during the 2014 Super Bowl. It features the young Oscar winner Kovanjine Wallace, and of course, an Italian sports car.
Strike.
If you try to imagine who made this commercial, you might think it's a new generation of Don Drapers. Crisp suits, slick hair, sitting around a conference table, all figuring out how to manipulate our hearts and minds. You probably don't picture a pale hipster with Warby Parkers, a baseball cap, and the soul of a poet, or an actual poet.
I couldn't believe that people were writing down their thoughts and their feelings.
I'm talking about Matthew Dickman. He's a Portland-born and raised author of four collections. He's also a professional ad man.
I am every moment I have ever lived. I am counting stars.
Dickman wrote that ad for the 2016 Rio Olympics. It's called Counting Stars. You see children running, jumping, and tumbling along with Olympians. But even without all that, the words could stand as a poem.
Every possibility. Together, we can change the world.
It's a far cry from the Charmin Squeeze or the Energizer Bunny. But Dickman says an ad can be effective and poetic.
They're really honoring language. The language you're hearing isn't like setting you up like a sucker. You know, it's not using language like an infomercial uses language, where it sort of patronizes the listener or the watcher and suggests that they can't dump out, you know, spaghetti into a strainer.
Dickman is 43 years old. He's part of a younger generation of poets that embraces the commercial world, not just to pay the rent, but as a creative outlet. Poets like Safia Alhello. She wasn't just writing copy. This is a poem she wrote for an Under Armour ad with Lindsay Vonn.
In the art of metal joinery, a cracked pot fuses back together with precious molten liquid. Gleaming vein at the site of each breaking, this is what I became. Each wound filled with sunlight to bond my old self to my new. I was hurt and did not end, and now I am endless.
This is the Portland poet Becca Wadlinger selling Coke.
To act the same would be mundane.
What a boring thing to do.
That's why there is just one me.
And advertisers aren't just asking young upstarts to do this. They're raiding the cannon and pulling out the big guns.
Pioneers. Oh, pioneer.
Here's Walt Whitman in this 2009 commercial for Levi's.
Follow well in order. Get your weapons ready. Have you your pistols? Have you your sharp-edged axes, pioneers, oh, pioneers? For we cannot tarry here.
Many people wonder where my secret lies. I'm not cute or built to suit a fashion model size.
When I start to and you might recognize Maya Angelou's voice.
But I say, I'm a woman. Phenomenally. It's in the reach of my arms.
This is a spot for Sport England called This Girl Can. You see girls and women exercising and playing sports to Angelou's words. But it's hard to tell what the commercial is selling. Strength itself? Angelou's work? It would be hard to find fault with either. Though Matthew Dickman knows some do. And this wasn't lost on Dan Wyden. That's of Wyden and Kennedy. He's the one who first brought Dickman into the business over a series of lunches. Four of them, actually.
Ad people love lunch. they love the fuck out of lunch. I mean, they love lunch more than Portlanders love brunch. You know, he said, I know this might feel like the devil's work to you, but would you ever be interested in trying your hand at it? And I guess it can be the devil's work, but I've never felt that way about anything that I've been lucky enough to work on.
It's halftime.
Dickman's first job was a big one.
Both teams are in their locker room discussing what they can do to win this game in the second half. It's halftime in America, too. People are out of work and they're hurting. And they're all wondering what they're going to do to make a comeback. And we're all scared because this isn't a game.
This is what Dickman and his team wrote for a Chrysler ad called Halftime in America. It ran during the 2012 Super Bowl. Maybe this is why he describes his introduction into advertising as a Cinderella story. The Super Bowl was his invitation to the ball, and Clint Eastwood was a fine prince.
And what's true about them is true about all of us. This country can't be knocked out with one punch. We get right back up again, and when we do, the world's going to hear the roar of our engines. Yeah, it's halftime, America. And our second half's about to begin.
They basically just wanted to see what I could write if I was as free as possible. So they basically said, imagine a coach during a halftime at a big game trying to get his team to get excited again and to go out there and win. You know, write a kind of monologue. So I watched some clips from different movies of coaches giving these inspirational monologues during halftime, and I wrote a bunch of different versions of that. And it blew up. It had this sort of zeitgeist moment. In fact, one of the lines that I had written ended up as the backsplash on the Rachel Maddow show. Right-wing pundits were talking about the commercial and calling out the writers and calling out White and Kennedy and calling out Chrysler for creating something that they thought was a dig against conservatism and Republicans and the right wing in general. But it became a big deal.
So whether ad executives hire young poets like Dickman or El Hello, or they source the old guard for Walt Whitman, this is more than a trend. John Kenny, the chief strategy officer at FCB in Chicago, certainly thinks so.
Our job is to attract and retain attention. And we do that by not being cliched. And if we can use language in a unique and interesting way that catches your attention, that retains your attention, that keeps it memorable, that's just really, really effective advertising. And obviously poets can do that incredibly well.
I'm speaking to John from FCB's Chicago offices in the Hancock Building on Michigan Avenue. It's a casual but hip space with rich leather chairs, a coffee bar with multiple TV screens, and a Smeg fridge where you can help yourself to San Pellegrino.
This is white space where all our ideas that are in development are hung up so that anyone in the agency can see what's going on, build on an idea, challenge an idea, and ideally kind of make that idea better.
John Claxton has been with the company for over 20 years. He's been in advertising for twice as long. He told me that he had a casual relationship with poetry until he heard Studs Terkel interview Billy Collins in 1994.
It was poetry like I'd never heard it before. It was very conversational, very welcoming, very easy to understand, and yet it made you think. It was very powerful. So I started to read poetry, and within a year, I think I was pretty hooked. It started to affect the way I wrote. And I write for advertising and wrote the same way pretty much my whole career until I started to really follow poetry. And there are certain things about the mechanics, the things that are just on the surface that affected the way I wrote. The unexpectedness of a phrase or just a unique way to describe something.
For each of us, there's a moment of discovery. We turn a page, we raise a hand, and just then, in the flash of a synapse, we learn that life is elemental. And this knowledge changes everything. We look around and see the grandness of the scheme. Sodium bonding with chlorine, carbon bonding with oxygen, hydrogen bonding with oxygen. We see all things connected, we see life unfold. And in the dazzling brilliance of this knowledge, we may overlook the element not listed on the chart. Its importance so obvious, its presence is simply understood. The missing element is the human element. And when we add it to the equation...
The Human Element from 2006, written and voiced by Claxton. It was a corporate rehab effort for a company long associated with some major chemical spills. The goal was to focus on people rather than products, in order to show ways in which Dow helps the environment.
We did it at a time when the Dow Chemical Company was saying hello to the world again for the first time in a long time. They had been very quiet for almost a decade. I wrote it in a very poetic style. There wasn't really anything to sell. It was much more about convincing people that this was a company that had their best interests in mind.
Ad Age called it the best corporate campaign today. But poetry fans may just think, well, huh. Claxton is a talented and earnest writer, to be sure. But is he borrowing from an art form to give authenticity to a chemical company?
If I had just lifted the work from an 18th century English poet and tried to make it fit the Dow Chemical Company in a current time, then I think it might be a valid criticism. But the words came from inspiration from working with the people at the company. They were written in a way that was inspired by contemporary American poetry. But they weren't borrowed.
The authenticity of the poem has to be matched by the authenticity of the brand.
This is John Kenny again.
And if you're just borrowing authenticity, I think consumers will see right through that, especially today. On a day-to-day level, most of what we do is try to persuade people to make choices that really, really don't matter. Whether you choose a Coke over a Pepsi, it's not going to ruin your day. You're going to be fine. The interesting thing is some of those brands do become associated with different generations, different ideas, and they become incredibly meaningful. Look at what Nike did in terms of supporting Black Lives Matter. They really have earned that because they've always been about supporting athletes and supporting what athletes do. And so I think there is a opportunity and increasingly kind of a demand by consumers that brands take a stance. And so I think one of the challenges for clients is knowing that you've got a small place in consumers' lives, but that small place can sometimes be really, really meaningful. And I think that's a dilemma and that's a thought that I think poets are probably pretty well positioned to think about, because sometimes it is those little things that become incredibly meaningful.
And Matthew Dickman is well-positioned, as John Kenny says. That means he can support his poetry while keeping the spiritual separate from the secular.
I always knew that poetry wasn't really a choice as far as it was going to be a part of my life. I do think that eventually, you know, you do find out that you're not just going to live off of poetry in the United States. So in that way, I always knew I would be a poet slash something else, whether that was going to be like a poet slash poetry teacher or a poet slash grocery clerk or, like I am now, a freelance copywriter.
If you do worry that Madison Avenue is co-opting poetry for its own gain, you can take heart in the fact that more often than not, these commercials are better ads for the poet or the poem than they are for the product. John Kenny says that people can't remember the brand 40% of the time anyway. So maybe a car company will do for some obscure poet what Volkswagen did for Nick Drake.
The bingo moon is on its way.
Robin Lin is a producer in Chicago. Let us know what you thought of this podcast and send us your suggestions. Email us at podcast@poetryfoundation.org. The theme music for this program comes from the Claudia Quintet. For Poetry Off the Shelf, I'm Curtis Fox. Thanks for listening.